Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11. Now, we're going to look at the Old Testament, and I'm going to do something that I do not very rarely, I very rarely do this. I do not have an outline tonight. Now, you might say, that could get kind of scary. Yes, it could. That could be a scary thing. I do not have an outline tonight. I have one jumbo jet truth that I want the Holy Spirit to lay on your heart. Now, when you're landing the big jumbo jets, you got to have a long runway. You got to have a long runway. If you're landing, the bigger the jet, the longer the runway. So I got a long runway tonight. When we get to the text tonight, when we get to the message tonight, we'll land it quickly. But it's going to take a long time to get there. But when we get there, it'll be a truth that I believe will change your life. And that jumbo truth will land on your heart forever. We begin in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without, everyone together, what's the next word? But without, that was terrible, Crosspoint. We got to do that louder. But without, it is, everyone together, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, there's a couple things in this passage that's amazing. It is impossible to please God, everyone together, without what? Now, we know that this is just in reference to young people. Brother DeFoe, can you please God without faith now? No, you can't. How old are you? You're what? Almost 80, okay? At 80, the only way to please God is with faith. And if you're in your 30s, the only way to please God is with faith. And if you're 11 years old here tonight, the only way to please God is with faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. We're going to talk tonight about go forward. Take your step of faith. I don't know what your step of faith is. Some of you are going through some health issues right now. You listen to that prayer list. Everyone on that prayer list is at a point where they're going to have to take a step of faith. Whatever it is financially, whether it's health-wise, whether it's relational-wise, every one of us have to constantly take steps of faith. Abraham is some 120 years old, and God's still testing him about his faith. Hey, that only son of yours, Isaac, I want you to put him on the altar. Are you willing to take a step of faith? You know what, Abraham, you've talked about you're this father of faith. I haven't seen much of this faith yet, Abraham. I mean, that whole Hagar is Ishmael thing, that was a mess. That wasn't faith. That was your flesh figuring that all out. But I want to see your faith. And it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter if you're a child in this room or if you're a senior saint in this room. There's only one way to please God, and it's by faith. Let me give you a passage of Scripture that shows this. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. Now, this is Israel crossing the Red Sea. Now, this is what I did in my Bible. You do whatever you want in your Bible. But in this passage of Scripture, in especially chapter 14, I have a little heading. And my heading is a Bible reference, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I think that is the perfect Bible reference for Exodus chapter 14. Now, you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not on thy own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you know that verse, you ever memorize it, you know it, would you be willing to stand with me right now and quote those two verses with me? You know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? You know that passage? And if you don't, you need to memorize it. Because it is like the best passage about God's will. All right, it's my wife's life's passage is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it's a great one. Everyone together, if you know the passage, would you say it with me? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust. Amen. That the passage we're going to look at is basically Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. All right. So 16 years ago, whoa, that's just amazing. 16 years ago, I'm teaching a newcomer's Sunday school class. And we did that Sunday, wasn't a normal lesson. That Sunday to the newcomers that were visiting the church, I preached on Moses crossing the Red Sea. I came and I taught the class, and at the end of the class, I had to get going to the morning worship service. I had to get ready. I had to get in the back and get ready and get prepped and everything like that for the telecast and all that stuff. And so I had to get going. A visitor, he was a carpet layer. His name was Joe Fox. Joe came up to me as I was walking out. Now, I gotta get moving. But here we got newcomers here. I gotta, you know, connect with the people visiting. So I'm moving pretty quick, and I got my Bible, and I'm walking out of the Sunday school, and he said, Pastor, yes, Joe, right? Yeah, Joe. He said, can I ask you a question? Well, why don't you walk with me? I got to get going to the back, but come on with me. What you got? And I'm thinking, what's he going to ask? What's a carpet layer going to ask about Exodus 14 that I can't answer, you know? So we're walking, and he said, Pastor, I got a question for you. I said, yeah, what's that, Joe? He said, why did God in that passage of Scripture tell Moses to stop praying? Pardon? Why did God tell Moses to stop praying? Well, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know any passage in the Bible that God told someone to stop praying. And I said, well, what verse are you talking about? Pastor, that verse 14, that verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? I think he was telling him, stop praying. Why are you crying out to me? Why did God tell Moses to stop crying out to him? Well, Joe, you got to, did you not hear the lesson today? I did, Pastor. Why did he tell him that, wherefore criest thou not unto him? Well, Joe, you got to understand the context and everything. And when you see this, I don't know, Joe. Joe, I don't know why God told Moses to stop praying. But Joe, I'll find out. 16 years ago, the answer to finding the question out began a journey for Jim and Mary Lee that our lives have never been the same since. I want to show you tonight about taking steps of faith. If you look with me at verse 13, the Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, a little bit later, I'm going to act this out because this is a pretty cool scene. But notice verse 15, our text tonight. And I'm going to need your help again, Crosspoint. And the Lord said unto Moses, hey, wherefore criest thou unto me? Hey, Moses, you speak unto the children of Israel that they, everyone together, it's the title of our message tonight, that they what, everyone together? Go forward. No. No more prayer time. You tell them to go forward. Because I'm not doing anything more until they take their step of faith. Father, I pray tonight, young and old, male and female, I pray that every one of us would take our next step of faith. Mary Lee and I are on the verge of a major purchase. I pray, Father, that we'll take the step of faith, that we will not presume upon you, but we'll take the step of faith. There's people in this room that have some health decisions, chemotherapy, going a holistic route. They got some major surgery, no surgery. There are people in this room that have major decisions. Father, there are folks in this room that are in relationships that they don't know if they should go forward, step back, step out, what they should do. There's things going on at work and at school. There's entertainment choices that have to be decided by faith in God. But Father, one thing I know, nobody in this auditorium tonight can please you without going forward by faith. Whatever it is in their life, pinpoint it. Hey, I want you to start trusting me for tithing. I want you to trust me for soul winning. I want you to take your step of faith, and I'll do my part to overcome your anger, to overcome your lust. Father, every one of us in this room cannot please you without taking a step of faith. Show us what that step is. Encourage us with the Holy Spirit. May we sense your grace if we take the step. And my prayer is a big one tonight. May every individual in here take their step of faith to please you. It may not be like the biggest thing in the world, but it's a step of faith they need to take. And you're not going to do any more until they take that step. God be with us tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's children said, look over in chapter 13. We're going to start the story. Verse 17. Exodus 13, verse 17. We're just going to have a Bible study. We're just going to walk through this passage. And then we will end up back at that verse 15 again. Verse 17. And it came to pass. There was an old radio preacher named J. Vernon McGee. His favorite verse in the Bible was, and it came to pass. I like that. Everything in your life's going to come to pass. Matter of fact, your life is going to come to pass one day. But you're not going to, whether you're, hey, you're down in a valley, it's coming to pass. Did you know that COVID-19 is going to come to pass? It may be a while, but it's going to come to pass, okay? Everything in your life's going to come to pass. Now, this is a big one, though. This is a 400 year, and it came to pass. Because Israel had been in bondage for 400 years, and it's about to end. 400 years of bondage, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. Whoa, that was a big deal. Hey, by the way, this is a great verse on authority. Why didn't, when God called Moses, go back to Egypt, and you're going to deliver Israel out of Egypt. Go back and get them. Well, what if Pharaoh won't let them? Doesn't matter. You don't have to even ask. They're my people, and let's just go. Now, I think this is interesting. God says, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And God doesn't let Israel allow out of the out of Egypt until the authority over them says let go. And by the way, we're going to read this in just a minute. They left harnessed with the spoils of Egypt. If they go around authority was wicked. Authority was terrible. But if you go around authority and don't go by the way of authority, you do not get the God's blessings in your life. Doesn't matter what the authority is, good or bad. Pharaoh's like the worst authority in the world. But God says you do not leave Egypt until your authority says get out of here. I think that's a good passage. And it says, Pharaoh had let the people go. That God, now here goes, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. So, I took this class in high school. It was called geometry. And I do not remember much from geometry, but there's one thing I remember from geometry. Help me out. The shortest distance between any two points is a straight line. Do you know who didn't take geometry? God. God did not take geometry. Okay, God, we're in Goshen. And the promised land is here. That's the way. God says, no. We're going to go right here. Hi-Hi-Roth, McDowell, Baal-Safon. We're going to put you in a cul-de-sac. We're going to put you in a dead end. We're going to put you at the Red Sea. God, straight line, bud. Straight line, promised land. No, no. I have things for you to learn. And I don't know about you, but my life has not been a straight line. How about yours? God has taken me on journeys. And I'm going like, God, what are we doing here? Let's get back to geometry here. Shortest distance between two points. Here's me, image of Jesus Christ. Boom, let's get going, God. God says, I got a way to get you there. Are you with me? I love that passage where he said he led them about. Now, here we go down to verse 19. And Moses took the, Brother Shepherd, this has nothing to do with my message, but this is so cool. I just got to tell you this. And Moses took the bones of, everyone together, the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Now, we just read a verse, speaking of Enoch, in Hebrews chapter 11. We all know Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. You know that chapter, all these people. Joseph is in that chapter. Did you know that? Yeah, well, of course, Joseph's in there. Joseph was a real man of faith. Well, he was. How did he get there? Well, he refused Potiphar's wife. Good. That was a great thing. That's not how he got to Hebrews 11. Well, he forgave his brothers. That was a great thing. But that's not how he got to Hebrews 11. Do you know how he got to the Hall of Faith? What we just read. What did we just read? That they picked up the bones of Joseph, and they were taking them with them. Okay, well, that's not that important. Let's keep going. No. That's huge. Because before Joseph died, he said these words. He said, you will one day not live in Goshen. You will one day be back in the promised land. And I'm telling you, by faith, this is not your final home. One day, you will be in the promised land. And then he says this, Genesis chapter 50, the end of his life. He says, and when you go back, take my bones with you. And you're going to one day bury my bones in the promised land. So guess what? The blessed hope of the Israeli, of the Israelite was for 400 years. What was their blessed hope for 400 years? When they were working and things were tough in Egypt and they were making bricks and it was just hard and they said, oh, I want to quit and I want to give up. No, you can't. Don't forget Joseph's bones. Oh, that's right. Joseph's bones. One day we're going to be out of here, aren't we? That's right. One day, Joseph said, his bones are going to be buried in the promised land. That was their blessed hope. Was that one day Joseph's bones would be buried in the promised land. That's not our blessed hope. Our blessed hope isn't dead man's bones. Our blessed hope is an empty tomb. Our blessed hope is that Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that great? That has nothing to do with my message, but I just love that. That is so good. I just love Moses took the bones of Joseph. That was their blessed hope. Okay, down to verse 21, get back to our story. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. By night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp at Pi-Hi-Haroth, McDowell, and Baal-Safon. They're down at the Red Sea. Okay, so God gave Israel two ways to guide them. How do we know God's will for our life? Okay, I tell you one way. God says, I'm going to give you a cloud. You want to know where to go? Follow the cloud. And when you follow the cloud, you are following my will. Okay, that's kind of cool. But how do we live like in our tents and stuff, like with each other and everything? I'm giving you Moses. And Moses is going to tell you how to live with each other. Moses is going to speak to you, and he'll tell you what's right and what's wrong. The cloud will tell you where to go. Oh, that's kind of cool. So, Brother Scheller, the way Israel knew God's will for their life was by following a cloud and by listening to Moses. Yep, those are the two ways. 16 years ago, Jim and Marilee left a little bubble. We left this perfect little world called Campus Church, Pensacola Christian College. It's just perfect. National television preacher. Ooh. Thousands of people every Sunday. It was a perfect little bubble. But we weren't living by faith. We were living in this all the safety. And God came and popped the bubble. And God says, I'm moving you. We're almost 50. We're old people. We don't know where we're going. God says, trust me. Now, I'll tell you what would have been nice is if God would have given us a cloud and Moses. If one morning Marilee wakes up, she looks out the window. Jim, you got to come and see this. Jim, the sky is blue. Oh, Marilee, what's so big? But Jim, there is a cloud right over our van. What? Jim, the sky is blue, but there's, Marilee, that's the cloud that's going to show us where we're going to go. And Jim, there is an old man standing right next to the van. He looks like Charlton Heston. I don't know. He's an old man. Marilee, that's Moses. That's Moses. Come on. Let's get in the van. And the cloud starts moving. Oh, man, we're going to find out where we're staying. And Moses is in the back seat. Hey. Thou shalt not speak that way to your wife. Oh, be quiet, Moses. Okay, let's get going. And I got Moses, and we got the cloud, and we're driving. And we're driving west. And we go through Louisiana, and we're going through Texas. And we're going through Texas. And we're going through Texas. Please, Lord, may the cloud keep going. Boy, that would have been the easiest thing in the world. If God didn't give us a cloud. God didn't give us Moses. But as I look back over it, God gave us two things that were better. God gave us his Holy Spirit, and God gave us the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Folks, can I tell you something that's better than a cloud in Moses? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Brother Scheller, I've got to make a big decision. Oh, I would definitely go to this man right here. I'd be talking to my under-shepherd on big decisions. Oh, yeah, I would. I think he's a spirit-filled man. There may be some other people that you have as a multitude of counselors, but can I also tell you, start getting in the book. If you got a major decision to make in your life, start getting in the book and make sure your life is right so the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And God began to guide. Took Marilee and I out to California. I never thought of it. It's a place called Santa Maria and a church called First Baptist. And then from there, God moved us over the West Coast, Baptist College, and God moved us step by step. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, everyone together, direct thy paths. So that's what's happened. Okay, so we got to take a little parenthesis, but it's going to be a really good one. So here's what he says. Look at verse 3. For Pharaoh will say unto the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness, that's why I took you down this cul-de-sac. Because Pharaoh's going to get all stirred up again. And I will, now here it comes. Oh, Brother Scheller, we don't have enough time tonight to get into this theological discussion. Yeah, we do. This is not that hard. No pun intended. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Oh, boy, Brother Scheller. We got to talk about Calvinism tonight? No. We're going to talk about Bible tonight. Brother Scheller, oh, I can't believe you're not going to really deal with this tonight now. Do we have enough time for this? Yeah, we do. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Do you know that 14 times in the Old Testament, it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart? Do you know that 8 times in the Old Testament it says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart? So 14 times it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. 8 times it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. So, what's the answer? Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? And the answer is yes. What? Yes, who? Yes. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Bible says it 14 times. Pharaoh hardened his own heart, says it 8 times. Let's move on. No, come on, brother, you can't move on. What does that mean? Okay, let me give you an illustration. Whenever I struggle with something, I ask God, God, show me something to understand this. I was in Phoenix one day. It was 116 degrees. At that point in my life, that was the hottest day of my life. I had never experienced 116. I've experienced higher now. But that was the hottest day I'd ever experienced. We were staying in a little timeshare resort thing. I told Marilee, hey, honey, I'm going to go out and run. I'm going to go out and run. I got to experience this. She said, Jim, you can't go out and run. That's crazy. I said, no, I got to experience what it's like to run in an oven. I got to try this, okay? So I went out and I ran 100 yards. I said, this is crazy. Now, let's go back to that day in Scottsdale, Arizona. 116 degrees out. And I wheel out a wagon. And in that wagon, I have 2 things. I open up a cooler. And in that cooler, I have a block of ice. And I put that block of ice on the sidewalk. 116 degrees. Put the block of ice on the sidewalk. Then I wheel down the wagon a few yards down. I open up a big box. Inside that box is all this mucky old clay. I mean, it's just all mucky. And I reach down and grab up this big mucky clay and I slap it on the sidewalk, 116 degrees. And I go in and have lunch with Marilee. 2 hours later, I come out. And I go over to the sidewalk. I go, oh no. And I come over and I look at where the ice was. Everyone help me out. And the ice had everyone together. The ice had what? Melted. But then I go down, same sidewalk, same temperature, and I walk down the sidewalk, and I get down to the clay. Help me out. And I look at the clay, and everyone together, and the clay has melted. The clay, everyone together, the clay has melted. Guys, same sidewalk. What did the ice do? And the clay melted. It's the same temperature here as it is over there. Brother Shatlar, enough of your games. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? 116-degree God hardened Pharaoh's heart. However, the sun that hardens the clay melts the ice. The same God, being God, could melt one person's heart and harden another person's heart. Now you hear this. I don't say this because I love this man, but I do love this man. Let me tell you something. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, when this man preaches, you are either leaving here harder or softer. What are you doing with the Word of God in your life? Because if you reject the word, your heart, hey, he preached the same message. That has always amazed me about the pastorate. You preach the same, and some people leave and they're hardened, and other people melted. What is with that? That is them responding to a God who's going to be God. God was God to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh became clay and was hardened. Are you with me? Who hardened the heart of Pharaoh? Yes, God was being God. And while God was being God, Pharaoh rejected it. And I'll tell you a response to that. Here goes, folks. Stupidest question in the entire Bible. Are you ready? I got that written down here. Right in my Bible, I wrote down stupidest question in the Bible. Look at this, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and all and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this? That we let Israel go from serving us. Why? Why did we let Israel go? Okay, that is the stupidest question in the Bible. Okay, I wish I could have been there that day. Why? Why did I let Israel go? Yes, in the back. Why did I let Israel go? Pharaoh, can I give you 10 reasons why we let them go? Pharaoh, why we let them go? You remember the darkness where we couldn't see our hand in front of our face? We let them go because he's the God of light and the God of... Hey, we were tired of drinking the red Kool-Aid out of the Nile. Okay? And what about those flies? And what about those boils? Come on! What about the hail? Hey, and this is the one I love. This is the one I love. What about the frogs? Why did we let them go? The frogs! The frogs, Pharaoh, do you remember? Ribbit. Isn't it interesting? I think God has a sense of humor. He took everything that Egypt worshipped, and he mocked everything that Egypt worshipped. You're going to worship frogs? Well, then I'm going to give you frogs. And the Bible said the frogs covered the land. Brother Shepherd, I looked up that word in the Hebrew, in the Masoretic text. You know what the word for covered is? Covered. It's covered. You know what that means? The land was covered. It was blanketed. That means wherever you walked, you got what you worshiped, bub. Wherever you walked on frogs. Squish, 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 squish. Ah! I can't stand that! Until this one's gone, I'm going to my bedchamber. Squish, squish, squish. Pull back the covers. Jump in the bed. Squish. The Bible says they were in the bedchambers. I can't handle this. I got to get a snack. I go to the kitchen. Squish, 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 squish. Oh, I got to have something to eat. Give me some bread. Take a big bite. Squish. They were in the kneading troughs where they made the bread, the Bible says. Why did we let Israel go? Ribbit. We did because of the frogs. Pharaoh, we let Israel go. Because their God is God. We let them go. That's why we did. But do you see how, and yeah, I know some of you know we don't use this word. Okay, use the word brutish. It's the same word. These people were stupid. And how do you get stupid? You get stupid by rejecting the light that's been given to you. We have a lot of stupid people leading this country right now. And I'm going to tell you why. They have rejected the light of God that's been given to them. They are saying stupid things because they haven't rejected. But you know what? I pastored a lot of people that in counseling, I'm going like, where did you get that? That's just plain stupid. But that's because you've rejected the light that's been given to you. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. Okay, we're done. Let's get over to the end here. So they come, they're coming out after him. And when they start coming out after him, all of these Israelis, all these Israelites are at this dead end, and they start seeing the dust coming. Oh, no. What in the world? Oh, no. It's the Egyptian army. We're at a dead end. This is the end. What have you done, Moses? And they start complaining. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, Israel. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Man, Moses tries to talk to him, and then he says this, and this is our message. The jumbo jet's about to land, so here you go. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians who you have served, you will see them again no more. Your Lord will fight for you. And then he must turn around. And he holds up that rod. And he says, God, now. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God, no! God, no! Stay standing. God, no! Lord, do something now! And God says, and here's your message tonight. God says, no, I'm not doing any more. You tell them to go forward. And when they go forward, I'll part the Red Sea. Oh, Lord, we're coming to another Christmas and I prayed for my unsaved relatives. Great, praise the Lord that you prayed. Now go forward and witness to them. I prayed for my fellow workers. Great, super, that's so good. I've had them on the prayer list, God. God said, great, I've prepared the way. You got to go forward now, though. They're not getting saved now until you witness to them. Lord, we need these finances. I will provide. God, you got to provide. I will. God, you got to provide now. I will. You take your step of faith about giving. You take your step of faith about tithing. You take your step of faith in finances about this deal. And I'll part the Red Sea for you. God, I've struggled with pornography and lust all of my life. God, help me. I will. God, I feel like I've been in bondage to lust. Lord, I have struggled with bitterness all of my life. God, I have lived in depression. God, help me. I will. Take your step of faith. And when you take your step of faith, I'll part the Red Sea. Crosspoint, you got to understand. Talk about jumbo jet truths. You have been crying out to God for God to do something in your life in an area that you say God has never provided. And God is saying, you never took your step of faith. You take your step of faith and I will do my part. Crosspoint, it is impossible to please God without faith. If you don't take your step, God's not doing a thing. And I don't care if you're a newlywed. I don't care if you're college age. I don't care if you're high school. I don't care if you're elementary. I don't care if you're a senior saint in here. It is impossible to please God without going forward in faith. There is a step that God wants you to take. In whatever area that is in your life right now. Man, I got to tell you, I own something and I've been thinking about selling it, but I just need to hear from God. You know what? Start moving. And when you start moving, God goes, hey, I can start directing you. I just close with this quick story. I taught all three of my boys how to ride a bicycle within 20 minutes. And I have a special needs son. Luke, my middle son, he's special needs. He was riding a bike in 20 minutes. I took them all out to a dirt area behind the old Pensacola Christian School. And we had a little swim bike that Ben won in a candy sale. And this little swim bike, and it had training wheels on it. And I did this with Ben. I did this with Luke. I did this with Drew. And in 20 minutes, they were all riding their bikes. Now, we started when they were 14. But no, they were just all little. I don't remember what age, but they were little. And we took them out, and I took the training wheels off. And I said, Ben, get on. So Ben gets on. He's got a hold of the handlebars. And I pick up the seat. And I said, start pedaling. So he starts pedaling, the tires going round and round. And I said, now I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this down. I'm going to put the tire down. When I put the tire down, you're going to start taking off. And Ben, you got to pedal. You got that? I got it. Okay, start pedaling right now. Start pedaling. Good. Here you go. Go. Boom. Ben. What did you stop doing? Man, I'm sorry. What did you stop doing? I wasn't pedaling. Yeah, you got to keep pedaling, bud. You got to keep pedaling. You keep pedaling, you'll be able to guide it. Okay? Let's try it again. Go. Okay, here we go. Go. God! Okay. That wasn't bad. Dad, I pedal. Yeah. You got to keep pedaling, though. You pedal for a little bit, and then you coasted. And when you coasted, you lost control. You got to keep pedaling, okay? What do you got to do, Ben? Pedal, Dad. That's right. I did this with all three boys in 20 minutes. They're all riding around. Only one word I needed. Pedal. Luke, pedal. Keep pedaling. You got it, Luke. Because you can control a moving bike. Some of you, I don't know what God's will is. That's because you're not moving. You're not taking steps of faith. You start taking steps of faith, God can guide you. God can, you start doing what you know you're supposed to do. It has nothing to do with what I'm praying about. No. It has everything to do with it. Because if you take your steps of faith that you're supposed to do, and you're faithful to that, God will start guiding you and directing you where you ought to be. I just want to tell you, I just don't know very many truths in the entire Bible that is more important than for us as his children to go forward. Cross Point, pedal. Start pedaling. And when you start pedaling, God starts guiding. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not, Israel, unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Pedal, pedal. And he shall direct thy paths.